This is Audible.
Podium Audio presents He Who Fights With Monsters, Book 1 of He Who Fights With Monsters, written by Shirtaloon, performed by Heath Miller. Chapter 1. Strange Business. Jason woke up naked, face down in the grass. That was not how he expected to wake up, since he had gone to sleep in his own bed and his own Darth Vader boxer shorts. From the feel of the cool grass on his unmentionables, he had been removed from his bed and shorts, both. The last thing he recalled was doing what he did most nights, playing video games until he got tired and then fumbling his way into bed. The grass he woke up on was weirdly comfortable, a dense bed of lush green softness. It wasn't like any grass he had encountered before, which was a little unusual. His father was a landscape architect, and Jason had grown up learning more about grass than he ever wanted to know, mostly because it was the only escape from his mother's Japanese lessons. Jason rolled himself over and sat up. He was feeling odd, beyond just the unusual circumstances. It wasn't a bad sensation, more like waking up after a really long sleep. There was the lingering sopa, but also a feeling of refreshed energy. He ran a hand over his head, only to be startled when he realized his hair was missing. He felt about his head with both hands, but his head was balloon smooth. He made a quick check with his eyes and hands, realizing there was no hair anywhere on his body. No eyebrows, nothing on his chest, or arms, or other places. I thought it was meant to look bigger when you trimmed. He pushed himself to his feet and started assessing his environment. Casting his gaze to the sky, he saw that the sun was high and the air was warm. The sky was unbroken blue, the blazing orb burning away so much as the merest hint of cloud. Sunburn, more than cold, was likely to threaten his exposed extremities. Looking around, he saw that he was boxed in between two long, tall hedges. Glancing up and down the dead straight lane, side junctions headed off at sharp right angles in either direction. The lane itself was wide and grassy, with plenty of room for unconscious sprawling. The hedge walls were meticulously trimmed. After an unhappy glance down at his bald, naked body, he set off at random to explore. He quickly discovered he was in a hedge maze, the living walls cultivated to almost twice Jason's height. Jason's first thought was to climb one to get a better sense of his location, but a closer examination of the hedges changed his mind. Instead of the usual boxwood, the hedges were something very prickly, and he was very naked. He looked up and down the path he was on, with neither direction looking any better than the other. What the bloody hell is going on? As if in response to his question, something appeared in front of him. It looked like a touchscreen, floating in the air, disembodied. He reached out to touch it with an experimental finger, the screen shimmering as his finger passed straight through. Hologram? He looked at the ground and nearby hedges for some kind of projector, but as he started moving, the screen followed. There was text on the screen, which he read. New quest. Stranger in a strange land. You have awoken in a place you do not know. Explore the area to discover more. Objective: explore the hedge maze. 0 of 1. Reward: simple pants. Huh. He looked around suspiciously. He carefully probed the pointy foliage of the hedge walls, looking for hidden cameras. Looking up at the sky, he didn't spot any camera drones. What he did notice was the moon, pale and easy to overlook in the daylight. Then he noticed another moon. That can't be right. Jason looked down at the floating screen, then back up at the sky. Still, two moons. Am I going nuts? Jason sat down on the grass, unsure what to do. He kept glancing up at the sky and the extra moon. In front of him, the screen still waited patiently. This is crazy. A quest? I'm not a level 1 sorcerer. Another screen appeared next to the first. Jason Asano. Race, Outworlder. Current rank, Normal. Progression to Iron rank, 0%, 0 of 4 essences. Attributes, Power, no essence, Normal. Speed, no essence, Normal. Spirit, no essence, Normal. Recovery, no essence, Normal. Racial Abilities, Outworlder. Interface, Quest System, Inventory, Map, Astral Affinity, Mysterious Stranger. Essences, 0 of 4. No essence, no attribute, 0 of 5. 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 Is this a character sheet? Am I meant to understand any of this? He shook his head in bewilderment. It could have at least gone with a game system I know. He looked over the screen again. Map, he read, latching onto something familiar. I know what maps are. How do I see the map? A new screen obligingly appeared. But as it was the third screen, the space in front of him was getting crowded. He absently thought it would be convenient for the other screens to close, which they immediately did. I'm sure that's good. Things were getting harder to explain away, even ignoring the extra moon. Some kind of voice command hologram was implausible, but not impossible. Mental command holograms were something else entirely. I'm becoming increasingly concerned. Also, I'm talking to myself a lot. I'm sure that's fine, and definitely not a defense mechanism to stave off panic. Hoping it wouldn't work, he started experimenting. He was able to open and close any of the windows with a simple thought. Maybe you're unconscious, he reassured himself. Maybe you have a brain tumor and you're in hospital somewhere, or passed out on the floor, hallucinating in an asylum, a nice one with a big garden, but no hedge maze. He closed his eyes with a groan. How is this the way I'm trying to comfort myself? Jason took a deep breath, letting it out slowly before opening his eyes again. The screens were still there, waiting. Just go with it, I guess, he told himself. Reserve judgment until more information is available. That's the rational approach. He turned his gaze back to the map floating in front of him. It looked like a map from any video game, complete with a location listing. Zone, Vein Estate, Hedge Maze. Also like a video game map, it was mostly obscured. The only unveiled portion was the small section of the hedge maze he had already explored. He tried moving the map with mental commands, finding he could zoom it in and out as easily as he could open and close the disembodied screens. Zooming all the way out, he reached a world map that looked both familiar and unfamiliar. Although the details were obscured, he could decipher the outline of the continents. Disturbingly, they weren't quite the same as the ones he knew. Southeast Asia was a singular landmass, pushing Australia south and east, where it looked to have consumed New Zealand. The Iberian and Arabian peninsulas were missing entirely, leaving Africa wholly disconnected from Europe and Asia. Sri Lanka was further south and several times larger, making for a huge landmass in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Well, that's not what the world looks like. Lacks cartography. According to the map, Jason was in southwest Africa, somewhere around inland Namibia. He looked at the rich green hedges boxing him in. The lush grass felt cool under his feet. He felt the hot, but not dry, air on his skin. This doesn't feel like the Kalahari Desert. He sighed, closing the map. This is some strange business. He pulled up his character sheet again. Racial Abilities, Outworlder. Interface, Quest System. Inventory, Map. Astral Affinity, Mysterious Stranger. Shouldn't my race be human? What's an Outworlder? Jason half expected another screen to appear, but nothing did. So he looked down the list. Interface seems obvious. Quest system too, I guess. Inventory? A window appeared, dominated by an almost empty grid of icon slots. There were 5 spaces down and 8 across, for a total of 40. There was also what looked like a currency counter at the bottom, depicting 6 different coins. Each coin had a counter that read 0. Well, that's certainly a classic inventory, Jason said. Can I really put stuff in here? There was one item in the inventory, occupying the first slot. It was some kind of red icon, presumably representing an actual item. All right, Jason, time to see how nuts you've really gone. How do I get this thing out? After some quick trial and error, he discovered it was as simple as plucking the icon straight out of the screen. The icon vanished and the item appeared magically in his hand. It was a medallion, the size of his palm. It looked and felt like polished red marble, with gold engravings on both sides. It was pleasantly warm to the touch. On one side, the engraving was a picture of a firebird, while the other had symbols reading, "Authority of the World Phoenix." "Well, that just magically appeared out of thin air," Jason said. "That's definitely not possible." "Wait, why can I read this? I never even learned Japanese properly." Jason's father, Ken Asano, was born in Japan, but raised in Australia from a very young age, proving there's no zealot like a convert. Ken was all about the Australian lifestyle, from pub rock to footy matches and weekend barbecues. He fell right in with the family of his wife, Cheryl, which was as Australian as he could ask for. Miners and farmers, tracing their bloodline back through bush rangers, convicts, and Indigenous Australians. Ironically, Cheryl was the one fascinated with Japan, trying to engage her children with their father's cultural heritage. Despite strong support from her mother-in-law, results were mixed. Jason tried putting the red tablet back into the inventory. His first attempt was to shove it into the screen, which, surprisingly, worked. It vanished from his hands and reappeared as an icon. "That's disconcerting." Jason's grip on reality was feeling increasingly tenuous. The screens were odd, but could conceivably, if implausibly, be the product of hidden hologram projectors. It was when they started responding to his thoughts that he started to get worried, and now he was pulling objects out of thin air. He closed the inventory and pulled up his character sheet again. Next down the ability list was the map, which he'd already looked at, then Astral Affinity. Ability. Astral Affinity. Increased resistance to dimension effects and astral forces. Dimension abilities have increased effect, and transcendent damage is increased. No idea what that means. Only one ability remained. Ability. Mysterious Stranger. Language Adaptation. Essence, Awakening Stone, and Skillbook Absorption. Immunity to Identification and Tracking Effects. Language Adaptation. Is that how I read the weird writing on the tablet? He took the tablet out again. What is this thing? Item. World Phoenix Token. Transcendent Rank. Legendary. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Consumable. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Effect. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Effect. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Uses remaining. One of one. Question marks. That's enlightening. Do I have to pay a wizard to identify items? He put the tablet away, closing all the open windows except for the map. All right then, he said, looking up and down the pathway he was on. Neither offered anything to recommend it over the other. It's no yellow wood, he told himself. But I guess it's time to Robert Frost this thing. He picked a direction at random and set off. I really wish I had clothes on. Jason was walking through the maze, the map open in front of him. It was being unveiled as he walked. His current plan was to reveal enough that he could plot a way out. He froze when he heard a rustle in the hedges. G'day, he called out, hands moving to nervously hide his unmentionables. Hello? Buenos dias? Guten Morgen? There wasn't any response. Maybe it's not morning. Guten Tag! There still wasn't any response. Yeah, Jason, he muttered to himself. That was the problem. You got the time of day wrong. He shrugged. Makes as much sense as anything else here, I guess. He was about to resume walking when a window appeared. New quest. No shirt, no shoes, no service. For unknown reasons, your immediate area has become infested with lesser monsters. Objective. Discover the reason lesser monsters have infested the area. 0 of 1. Reward. Simple shirt. Bonus objective. Defeat 10 lesser monsters. 0 of 10. Reward. Simple footwear. Monsters? That doesn't sound plausible. Jason was looking around suspiciously when something small came hurtling from the bottom of a hedge. His hands shot back over his privates, which left his head an exposed target. He was blinded by something latching onto his face, something sharp digging painfully into his scalp. He yanked it off with both hands, screaming as a chunk of skin went with it. He dropped to his knees, slamming the thing into the ground over and over until it stopped struggling. You have defeated Potent Hamster. Defeat lesser monsters, 1 of 10. Jason released the creature and scuttled back, still on his hands and knees. His heart was racing, the wounds on his head throbbing. Blood trickled down his face, and he wiped it away from his eyes. What in the merry hell is happening? How did a hamster jump on my head? Jason looked at the creature. According to the window that popped up, it was some kind of hamster, but was easily as big as Jason's head. That made it bigger than any hamster he had heard of. It was distended from being pounded into the dirt, as well as streaked with blood from Jason's head. He crawled forwards cautiously, ready to jump back. Extending a hesitant finger, he poked at it. Would you like to loot Potent Hamster? Jason rocked back, hands clutching his bald head. His fingers found his wound, and he yelped in pain. What the hell is going on? Chapter 2. Of course magic is a thing. Jason read the screen again. Would you like to loot Potent Hamster? Yes? The body of the dead creature made a fizzing sound, like a rapid chemical reaction. The body started melting rapidly, first the flesh, then even the skeleton, all dissolving into rainbow-colored smoke. It seemed pretty until it hit Jason with a stench thick as cheese, like burned hair and rotting meat. He scrambled away to escape the rancid smell, dry-heaving on all fours. Looking over as he hacked out coughs, he saw the creature's body had vanished, as if it never existed at all. He ignored the window that popped up, dropping onto his back in the soft grass. I hate this, he told the sky. I'm naked, bleeding, and have no idea where I am. I can't think of any better explanation for what's happening than that I've lost my bloody mind. Worst of all, I'm going to get sunburnt in places that don't see a lot of outdoor exposure. He sat up with a groan, reading the screen, waiting for him. Monster Core, Lesser, has been added to your inventory. Healing Unguent, Iron, has been added to your inventory. 10 Lesser Spirit Coins have been added to your inventory. Oh, straight into the inventory. That place that lets me make things appear and disappear. I've definitely gone insane. Now familiar with opening and closing the screens, the inventory window appeared with a simple thought. 2 more of the 40 grids were now occupied with little icons, while the currency counter had the number 10 listed over the first of the 6 coin symbols. Jason took out the item labeled Healing Unguent. It was a small, round tin, reminding Jason of the nasty rubbing medicine his Nana would put on scrapes when he was a kid. At least this tin wasn't rusty, like the one that had been under Nana's laundry sink longer than Jason had been alive. Nana was his maternal grandmother, while his father's mother was strictly grandmother. She was a retired otorhinolaryngologist, and had no truck with rusty tins of ointment. He took a closer look at the tin in his hand. Item, healing unguent, iron, iron rank, common. Topical healing ointment, inexpensive concoction, ideal for superficial injuries. Consumable, healing. Effect, apply directly to injuries to heal. Effect reduced on bronze rank or higher individuals. Uses remaining, 5 of 5. Unlike the tablet, the magic screens had no problem identifying the tin. Jason pulled off the lid to discover it really did look and smell like the ointment under Nana's laundry sink. There was a sharp medicinal smell that cut through even the lingering stench of the dead creature. As for the contents, it was an oily substance that looked like butterscotch sauce made from dubiously sourced ingredients. How did I get ointment from a hamster? How did it come in a tin? With an exploratory finger, he gently prodded the wound on his head. Ow! The oversized hamster teeth had dug into his scalp. The blood still ran down the front and side of his head. Can't hurt to try, I guess. At least there's no hair to get in the way. He took some of the ointment and smeared it carefully onto the wound, which immediately started to sting. You have used healing unguent iron. Uses remaining, 4 of 5. The stinging area faded rapidly, the pain from the wound itself quickly following. Jason delicately poked the affected area, but while it was still wet with blood and ointment, he could find no trace of the injury. Sure, he said. If you're going to have medicine appear out of thin air, why not make it magically potent? Jason placed the tin back in his inventory and pulled out the other icon. What appeared in his hand was a small, red-brown gem in the shape of a teardrop. Item, Monster Core, Lesser, Iron Rank, Common. The Magic Core of a Lesser Monster. Crafting Material, Magic Core. Effect, Common Component for Ritual Magic and Magic Item Creation. Oh, it's for magic rituals. I'm apparently in a video game now, so of course magic is a thing. Jason sighed as he put the monster core back in his inventory. Maybe I've had an aneurysm, and this is just my dying brain trying to sort things out as it shuts down. He thought about that for a moment. His sister would be the one to find his body. She'd have her little girl in tow, coming to see Uncle Jason. Wow. Okay, now I'm actually hoping this whole horrible experience is real. That's the way, Jason. Indulge the delusion. Jason looked at the coin counter in his inventory. How do I take that out? He tried tapping on the number. You have 10 lesser spirit coins. How many would you like to withdraw? One, I guess? A coin appeared in Jason's hand. It was a washed-out blue color, with a metallic sheen, but feeling more like glass to the touch. Item, lesser spirit coin. Iron rank, common. An impure distillation of raw magic. Currency, crafting material. Effect, used to fuel lesser rank magic items or as a ritual component. Jason peered at the figure embossed on the coin. Looking closer, he realized it was an image of Jason himself, giving a thumbs up. What? My chin isn't that big. He turned the coin to look at the other side, which was engraved with the text, Product of Jason. G'day, mate. He ran a hand over his face. Somehow the coin itself was more ridiculous than the fact he had pulled it out of thin air. I've definitely gone insane. When the slippery creature latched its teeth onto his inner thigh, Jason yelled as much out of panic as pain. He still had no pants on, and that was much too close to the danger zone. He grabbed the long, slippery body, gripping down hard and yanking it off his leg. He screamed again as it took a chunk of thigh with it, but kept his grip and started flailing the creature into the prickly hedge. You have defeated Flying Eel. Defeat lesser monsters, 9 of 10. Jason dropped to the ground, pulled out a jar of healing unguent, and started rubbing it on the wound, ignoring the blood coming out of it. Why can an eel fly? He looked down at the wound, high up inside of his thigh. The eel had taken a decent gouge out of him, so the stinging lingered as the wound slowly closed. Even so, the ability to watch an injury vanish in front of his eyes was amazing. After 9 encounters with different creatures, Jason had plenty of chances to see it, going through almost 3 full tins of the unguent. He used a full tin from one fight alone against something called a malicious hedgehog. One pleasant discovery was that he didn't have to stand in the stinking smoke that came off them after they were looted. So long as he touched the creature, he could back away before accepting. Even if he was far away from the dissolving creature, the loot went straight into his inventory. The only problem was that any of the creature's blood that got onto him would dissolve away as well, giving Jason a full dose of the stink. Every creature Jason looted gave out one lesser monster core and exactly 10 spirit coins. Most also produced additional, often nonsensical rewards. Tins of healing ointment were mercifully common, but mostly he received animal parts. That would have been understandable enough, given that he was killing creatures, but they arrived in his inventory already cut and packaged. The bundle of spines he received from the malicious hedgehog was bound with string, while the meat of the tyrannical pheasant came neatly wrapped in deli paper. The animal parts were all listed as crafting materials, some of which seemed to be for cooking. While he did enjoy trying new food, Jason wasn't quite ready to put monster meat on his plate. While he waited for the newest wound to heal, he checked the map again. He had a decent-sized chunk of the hedge maze mapped out now, but it was quite large, and he'd met a lot of dead ends. He plotted out his next pathway and set out again. There was a flower growing in the middle of the pathway, around half a meter tall. With a thick, gnarled stalk and ugly brown petals on a flower head looking like a fistful of knuckles. Everywhere else Jason had been, there was only uniform hedges and neatly cut grass. He watched it from a safe distance, but to all observation it was just a plant. Jason moved forwards cautiously, eyes glued to the flower. He gave it as wide a berth as he could, keeping at least a meter from it. Just when he thought he had passed without incident, the flower twitched, spraying spores all over him. He got dizzy and fell to the ground, then felt a weight on his leg. A vine with a bulbous head had grown out of the ground near the flower stem and was now winding its way around his leg. He tried to kick it away, but his head was swimming and he flailed ineffectually. The vine kept growing, crawling up his body. The bulbous head of the vine opened up, clamping onto his head like a lamprey. Jason clenched his teeth, fighting through the haze with anger. He reached down, grabbing the vine with both hands, and started hauling on it. The ground under the flower bulged, soil spilling away as a grotesque shape emerged from the earth. It looked like a root vegetable, but was the size and shape of a baby. The vine was attached to its stomach like an umbilical cord, while the flower grew out of its head. Jason let go of the vine, crawling over to the main body and grabbing it in both hands. He lifted it up, then brought it down on his knee, smashing it again and again. "People are vegetarians!" he yelled through gritted teeth, every word punctuating a strike to the knee. "Vegetables aren't peopletarians!" With a final shout, he brought the creature down on his knee with all his strength. The plant monster broke apart like a potato that had been dropped off a building and hit concrete. You have defeated Carnivorous Mandrake. Quest: no shirt, no shoes, no service. Bonus objective complete. Defeat 10 lesser monsters, 10 of 10. Simple footwear has been added to your inventory. Primary quest objective still available. Taking the footwear out of his inventory, he discovered it was a pair of sandals. Although the thick grass was pleasant underfoot, Jason still put them on. That left him standing naked, except of a pair of sandals. I think I might hate this place. Chapter 3. Local Cuisine. Jason frowned at the object in his hand. The carnivorous mandrake proved to be the most generous monster thus far with its loot, producing not only an extra tin of the precious healing unguent, but also something new. Item: Trowel of the Blood Cult. Iron rank: uncommon. A gardening implement, enchanted to affect certain kinds of plant. Tool. Effect: improves health of carnivorous plants. The trowel looked rather sinister, made out of some kind of black metal with a red sheen. It carried the wear marks of having been used as a planting tool, but also had a razor edge that seemed wholly unnecessary for gardening purposes. Blood cult? Jason read unhappily from the item description. Who gardens with an evil trowel? Whose hedge maze is this? Not having anything better, Jason kept the sharp trowel in hand, on the lookout for more monsters. After checking his map again, he set off clutching his weapon. Still naked aside from a pair of sandals, he was very careful about where he held it. Jason looked at the well. It was a circle of bricks, the mortar aged and crumbling. There was a wooden bucket and crank, both weathered with age. It was the kind of rustically picturesque feature he could imagine someone putting at the center of their hedge maze. Quest: Stranger in a Strange Land. Objective complete. Explore the hedge maze, one of one. Simple pants have been added to your inventory. Quest complete. 100 iron spirit coins have been added to your inventory. Jason gave a fist pump and took the pants out of his inventory. They were made of plain white linen, with billowy legs and a very low crotch fit, held up by a drawstring. It's like a Mennonite made some hammer pants. Did I wake up in 1991 rural Pennsylvania? Putting aside fashion concerns, Jason slipped the pants on, walking around experimentally. They were sufficiently roomy that it didn't feel much different to walking around without them. I don't suppose I can get a quest for some boxer shorts? He waited hopefully for a few moments, but no window appeared. Worth a try. After being attacked by so many creatures, Jason was a mess of blood and ointment, though the wounds had been healed. The white pants immediately became stained red and unguent yellow. With his nudity concern ameliorated, Jason was able to turn his thoughts to other aspects of his situation. He sat down on the edge of the well to think over his next move. The things he was experiencing were clearly impossible, which broadly placed him in one of two situations. One, his faculties were significantly compromised, and his understanding of what he was doing was massively detached from reality. Brain trauma, hallucinogens, some kind of severe mental break. His knowledge was too shallow and his observation point too subjective to make any definitive assessment. To the best of his understanding, though, none of those options made sense. He was too lucid, too capable of critical thinking. His consciousness wasn't skipping around, glossing over the inconsistencies of a compromised mental state. That being said, his understanding of mental conditions was essentially nil. That might be what crazy felt like from the inside. The big point going for the mental impairment hypothesis was that the alternative scenario required Jason's most fundamental understandings of reality to be somewhere between woefully incomplete and breathtakingly wrong. Either way, his only real option was to get on with it. If it was all in his head, then it didn't matter what he did. Inversely, if it was real, and he ran around acting like it wasn't, the consequences could be dire. He took a deep, calming breath. "All right, Jason," he said, steeling himself. "What's next?" Sooner or later, he would need to find his way out of the maze, but the fact that his quest ended on reaching the well implied there was something special about it. He started by examining the wooden frame, which had a simple crank and rope to lower a bucket, along with a little wooden roof to shield the mechanism from the weather. It only seemed to have worked to a degree, with the rope and bucket both looking the worse for wear. The brickwork was likewise dilapidated, with mortar crumbling at his touch. He stuck his head over the well to look down. To his surprise, iron rungs had been affixed to the inside of the well, leading into darkness below. New quest: Secrets of the Well. You have discovered a ladder descending into the well. Do you have the courage to explore the depths? Objective: Explore the well, 0 of 1. Reward: Awakening Stone. Bonus objective: Don't die, 0 of 1. Reward: Essence. Don't die? What kind of quest objective is don't die? He shook his head. Bugger that. Reject quest: Secrets of the Well? Jason was about to reject the quest when he heard voices coming from somewhere close within the hedge maze.
I tracked the aura of the mandrake that took my trowel, a gravelly male voice said. Someone had already killed it, and my trowel was nowhere to be found.
Someone with those adventurers we caught?
Another man asked.
I don't care who they're with, the first voice said. I'm going to kill 'em, cook 'em, and eat 'em.
I wanted to try some of that elf girl, but the mistress said we're keeping them all for the sacrifice. Bloody waste, if you ask me.
Nah, elves ain't good eating. Not much meat on them. And what's there is all stringy. That human girl, she's the one you want, lean and tender.
I don't know, Dougal. She looked pretty tough to me. And we always have humans. I just want a little variety is all.
Well, this lot is all spoken for regardless.
Ducked down behind the well, Jason didn't let out a breath until the voices faded into the distance. He ignored the fact that they were talking about elves in the face of their casual discussion on the pros and cons of eating people. Was that real? Or just a couple of guys with a weird sense of humor? Cannibals? He gave it some consideration. Normally, cannibals would be right at the top of the crazy pile, but with the day Jason was having, it was at least a familiar horror. He considered it some more as he started climbing down into the well.
What kind of lunatic place is this?
Jason was not happy with his options. A quest with the explicit objective of don't die wasn't great, but wandering blindly through a maze with cannibals roaming about struck him as an even worse option. What was he going to do? Fight them off with their own trowel? There were two of them, and they were a lot bigger than a tyrannical pheasant. It might have been an evil monster chicken, but it still barely came up to his waist. Even then, it got some savage pecks in. He didn't have a weapon then, so he had to get in behind, reach around, and savagely choke the chicken with both hands. Jason started reconsidering his choice to go down the well, when only the second rung down shifted in his hand. It was set into the brickwork at the top, the shaky mortar apparently ready to give way. Then he thought about himself hanging from a butcher's hook and kept going.
Going down a creepy well or dodging cannibals, he muttered unhappily.
For what felt like the 100th time, he wondered where he was, what was going on, and what evil prick dumped him naked right in the middle of it. The well was quite deep, judging from the diminishing light coming from above. He kept a careful grip on the cold metal rungs as the interior of the well became dank, the sides slick and wet.
I'm definitely getting Legionnaire's disease.
The light did not penetrate far down the narrow well, and Jason was soon moving entirely by feel. He descended cautiously, each foot carefully seeking out the next rung down. He would occasionally glance up at the shrinking blue circle that was all he could see of the sky, reassuring himself it was still there.
Maybe they're not really cannibals, he told himself. Maybe they're just talking themselves up.
Unconvinced, Jason kept moving down into darkness, barely able to make out his hand on the rung in front of him. He discovered he had reached the bottom when his foot met water instead of the next rung. Some experimental probing revealed it was ankle-deep, enough to submerge his sandals in the icy cold. The bottom of the well was flat, but, as it turned out, just as slippery as the walls. His feet slid out from under him, and only his hands still gripping the rungs saved him from bashing his head against the side of the well. He ended up sprawled at the bottom of the well, dank water joining the blood and ointment in staining his new pants.
Lovely.
The advantage of his low perspective was that he found himself looking directly at a slightly darker circle in the wall of what was already a very dark well. He reached out tentatively and found it was a hole, large enough to crawl through. He didn't know if it was the source of the well's water or some kind of drainage tunnel.
No, Jason said. I'm definitely not interested in crawling in there.
Reject quest, secrets of the well.
Sod off.
Jason looked up again at the bright circle of sky, then the dark circle of the tunnel. With a groan, he started probing the pitch-black hole with his hands. Chapter 4. Cannibals and Spelunking. Jason slowly crawled his way into the dank tunnel, a circular pipe of wet and slimy brickwork. It was wide enough to push himself along, but tight enough that he was pressed against the clammy sides. The darkness engulfed him as he moved away from what meager light reached the bottom of the well. Edging down the tunnel, touch was the only sense with which he could navigate. With the ubiquitous smell of wet rot, he wished his nose was as useless as his eyes. This is not what I planned to do with my day. If it turned out to be a dead end, he would be forced to shimmy backwards, the tunnel far too tight to turn around. Admittedly, my plans for the day were fairly loose, but cannibals and spelunking aren't things you just casually slide into the schedule. Talking to himself didn't help much, but any distraction was a welcome bulwark against the encroaching claustrophobia. The gloom of the well had seemed stifling, but the dark of the tunnel was much deeper. He felt panic's icy fingers crawl over his flesh as the tunnel closed in on him. He knew it wasn't actually getting smaller, but his rationality seemed powerless in the cold, wet oblivion. His unraveling nerves were reaching their limit. He was ready to start pushing his way back and risk the cannibals when his hand came down on slimy, wet wood instead of slimy, wet brick. There was still no light, so he probed with his hands. He had reached the end of the tunnel, but had no idea what kind of space it opened into. He sensed open space, but in complete darkness it could well have been his imagination. His hands felt out some kind of platform made of wooden planks. It was wet and a little slimy, although it felt reliably solid under Jason's hands. The surface of the wood was rough, like sandpaper. Some kind of long, enduring adhesive had been used to apply sand or something similar, improving friction on the wet planks. Jason had seen something similar on bushwalking tracks. Feeling around as he crawled free of the tunnel, he felt the planks were lined up to make a walkway, a meter and a half wide. It felt like there was enough room above him to stand, but even with the sand coating, he didn't trust the slick wooden path in the dark. He continued forwards, as he had in the tunnels, hands exploring in place of his eyes. Just a short way down the path, he found a vertical metal rod sticking out of the walkway, at the edge to his left. His hands traced the shaft upwards to a hooked end, from which was hanging some kind of metal box with a loop on top. Item: crude magic lamp. Iron rank, common. A simple lighting device fueled by low-level magic. Tool. Effect: casts light. Current charge, 0%. Requires a lesser spirit coin to replenish. Jason tried using the glowing hologram window as a light source, but even hard up against the lamp, it failed to produce so much as a murky outline. Jason fumbled about to unhook the lamp from the pole. You have acquired crude magic lamp. Current charge, 0%. Requires a lesser spirit coin to activate. Expend one lesser spirit coin. Yes, no. Please and thank you. When the lamp lit up, Jason discovered the hard way that he had been holding the front of it pointed directly into his face. He screamed as light blasted into his eyes and dropped the lamp from his hands. It clattered away as he fell back onto the wooden pathway, moaning with hands over his eyes. Good job, genius, he croaked, waiting to recover. Light a lamp right in front of your face. Real smart idea. He tentatively opened his eyes and saw the space around him illuminated from below. The light was largely obscured, but compared to complete darkness, even some shadowy outlines were bliss. It was at least enough to recognize that he was in a natural cavern. It didn't have the conveniently smooth floors of a video game cave, which was presumably why someone had put in the walkway, raised on thick wooden posts. Jason was already laying on the walkway, so he rolled over to reach down and fetch the lamp from where it had fallen. The walkway was only about an arm's length above the cave floor, so he fetched it up easily enough. Jason pushed himself to a sitting position and examined the lamp, careful not to blind himself again. As the name suggested, the crude magic lamp was a simple affair, looking rather like a miner's tin lamp. It had three boxy metal sides, a glass front and a loop handle on the top. Dropping it didn't seem to have harmed the glass at all. Inside, the light came from what looked like a round stone, glowing like a light bulb. He held up the lamp to get a better look at the cave. It was spookier than Jason would have liked, with plenty of dark crevices and ominous shadows. "Hello?" he called out. Between the racket he had made and the light of the lamp, there was little point trying to hide from any denizens occupying the cave. The quest drove him down into the cavern, rather than back into the cannibal maze. He was hoping that meant whatever was at the end of the cave was worthwhile. A pirate ship filled with enough treasure to stop the local country club from foreclosing on the family home would be ideal. He would be willing to accept someone who doesn't eat people. "Is anyone down here?" he asked. "If you want me to kill 10 goblins in return for an uncommon spear, I'm only really equipped for light gardening." He thought about the evil trowel, now ready at hand in case of sudden attack. "It could be evil gardening." Since the beam of the lamp lit up the cave like a lighthouse on a dark night, there was no point being stealthy. His hope was that he could bait out into the light whatever creatures were lurking. They would probably be adapted to darkness, and if he could dazzle them, it would at least be some advantage. The idea of sneaking through pitch blackness gave him the feeling that he wouldn't even know how he died. And don't die was the bonus objective after all. In video games, Jason was the kind of player who could take it or leave it with secondary goals. In this one instance, though, his motivation levels had reached a previously unseen zenith. He started following the walkway, taking care with his steps. The sand coating had worn away in a lot of places, leaving patches of the woods slick and frictionless from years in the bleak, damp cavern. The cave turned out to be something of a natural tunnel, roughly speaking, through which the walkway followed. He made his way slowly and carefully until it came to an end at a brick wall, set into the side of the cave. In the middle of the wall was a hefty metal door, with a big wheel set into it, like a bulkhead door on a submarine. Both door and wheel were rusty, and didn't look to have been opened in some time. Now we're getting somewhere. Setting down the lamp, Jason grabbed the wheel with both hands and pulled. It didn't budge. Oh, come on. He yanked on it harder and harder, until his feet were braced against the door, and he hauled sideways with his full body weight. He felt a little give, then a little more, each accompanied by an unwilling metal groan. Finally, the wheel jerked loose, and Jason could turn the reluctant mechanism with heavy jerks. Panting from the exertion, Jason shouldered open the door. Like the wheel, it resisted, and he had to shove it open in fits and starts. His shoulder grew sore as he repeatedly rammed it into the door. Finally, the door gave way with a shriek, and he stumbled through the opening. Quest: Secrets of the Well. Objective complete. Explore the well. 1 of 1. Awakening Stone of the Stars has been added to your inventory. Bonus quest objective, Don't Die, still available. Awakening Stone of the Stars? Is that like the magic version of those celebrity house maps? He retrieved the lamp from where he had set it down, pulling the new object from his inventory. It looked like a fist-sized marble, black, but containing what looked like tiny stars. Item: Awakening Stone of the Stars. Unranked. Epic. An awakening stone that unlocks the power of the stars. Consumable: Awakening Stone. Requirements: Unawakened Essence Ability. Effect: Awakens an Essence Ability. You have 0 Unawakened Essence Abilities. You do not meet the requirements to use this item. That seemed more complicated than Jason wanted to get into when there was a door right in front of him with the promise of, hopefully non-cannibal, civilization. The interior on the other side of the door was dark, so he stepped inside and started panning the light beam of the lamp. It was a room, thankfully not just more cave. It was like a large parlor from a stately home, but after a tornado passed through. Furniture was upended, tapestries and paintings ripped down from the walls. Bookshelves had been toppled, their contents tossed around the room. There was an ornate chandelier that had crashed down from the ceiling, scattering shattered crystal across the polished floor. Searching through the mess by the light of the lamp, he found an overturned couch in the middle of the room. Under it was a man unconscious. Heaving the couch off of him revealed that he was sprawled in the middle of an elaborate pentagram, set into the floor in brass or copper. The man was youngish, maybe 30, clean-shaven with an olive complexion and a handsome face. To Jason's eyes, he looked rather Mediterranean, the good-looking kind, with the dark wavy hair. Oddly, he was wearing what looked like honest-to-goodness wizard robes. Jason set down the lamp to examine the man. He had a strong pulse and regular breathing, but was showing early signs of extensive bruising, and his body temperature felt way too high. As Jason was examining the stranger, his eyes flickered open. Chapter 5 Wizard.
"G'day, mate," Jason said. "Looks like you've had a spill. Need a hand up?"
Jason offered his hand and helped the wizard-looking man to his feet. Despite a frame as slender as Jason's own, the wizard was surprisingly heavy. Standing unsteadily on his feet, the wizard looked around at the room in disarray, then at Jason, his expression confused.
"Who are you?" the wizard asked. "How did you get here?"
"I'm Jason, and I have no idea. I went to bed what I think was last night, and woke up in some kind of alternate universe."
The wizard narrowed his eyes as he peered at Jason.
"There's something off about your aura," the wizard said. "You're not human."
"That's hurtful."
"Wait, auras are really a thing?"
"You said something about an alternate universe," the wizard asked.
"That's just a guess," Jason said. "I mean, the continents are different. Could be a crazy far time travel thing. Do you know anything about continental drift?"
The wizard's gaze moved to the magic circle on the floor, then back at Jason.
"It was you," he said, angrily. "You're what went wrong with the summoning."
"Yeah, well, at least you did summon something. Do you have any idea how wrong your summon made my night's sleep go? One of us has a lot more to be grouchy about than the other."
The wizard looked a combination of confused and angry, but as he was about to retort, he went pale and stumbled in place.
"Crap, sorry," Jason said, moving to support him.
"Get off me!"
The wizard staggered in the direction of a heavy writing desk. It seemed to have escaped major displacement by being the heaviest piece of furniture in the room. He almost tripped, still weak from whatever happened prior to Jason's arrival. The wizard opened a drawer, took out a small bottle, and drained the contents.
"I could use a stiff drink myself if you're offering," Jason said.
"It was a recovery potion, fool," the wizard said, then winced with pain. "It seems the backlash will take more than a potion to fix."
He gave Jason a smile that Jason did not like.
"Since I can't recover mana right now, I'll have to do things the old-fashioned way. I've never tasted an outworlder before."
"Oh, no," Jason said, shoulders slumping. "You're one of the cannibals."
As the wizard pulled a knife out of the drawer, Jason looked around the room. There was a set of wooden double doors that were presumably an exit, but the wizard was a lot closer to them than Jason. Remembering how weakly the wizard staggered over to the table, Jason took a risk and tried barreling past him. It worked, but when he pulled on the door handles, they were locked. He spun around to make back for the cave, only to find the wizard lunging at him. Jason grabbed at the arm holding the knife. Wrestling back and forth, they tripped on a piece of the overturned furniture and fell to the floor, still struggling. The lamp was lost somewhere along the way, and they battled in shadows, each trying to seize control of the weapon. Jason had a grip on the wizard's arm, trying to keep the knife from digging into him. In spite of his small frame and apparent weakness after being knocked out, the wizard was much stronger than Jason. Taking a lesson from the small, aggressive monsters he had been fighting, Jason bit into the wizard's hand. The wizard yelped in surprise more than pain, but it gave Jason a chance to seize the advantage, yanking the knife from the wizard's grip. Still scrambling on the floor, he shoved the knife out blindly, and suddenly the wizard went limp. The knife was sticking out of the wizard's throat, but he was still alive, looking at Jason with disbelieving eyes. Jason snatched the knife back, and blood sprayed over him, getting into his eyes and mouth. Recoiling, he spat out blood and rubbed at his eyes. By the time his panicked flailing came to a halt, the wizard's body was still. "You have defeated Builder Cultist." Jason pushed himself up with bloody hands, tripped on debris, and fell back over. His breath came in ragged starts as he lay where he fell. Eventually, he sat up, looking over at where the body had fallen directly into the light beam from the lamp. He pulled his legs up and hugged his knees, rocking slightly as he stared at the body. He had no sense of how long he stayed like that, but eventually he pushed himself unsteadily to his feet. He walked over to the bloody knife and picked it up. Item: seal knife, bronze rank, common. A dagger with the Vane family seal on the pommel. Weapon: tool. Requirements: bronze rank, speed, bronze rank, spirit. Effect: when used to imprint a wax seal on a letter, the letter will be destroyed if opened by anyone other than the addressee. Jason stared at the bloody knife in his equally bloody hand. After a few moments, there was an unusual tingling, slowly rising to become pain. He tightened his grip until the pain became too much and the dagger clattered to the floor. "You do not meet the requirements to use this item." Finally, he turned to the body. Its eyes were open, face frozen in a final expression of surprise. The room was still and silent. Jason's eyes locked on the corpse. "You did this," he accused it. "You did this." He didn't sound convincing, even to himself. Jason's mind was nothing but white noise as he stood over the body. When a new sound broke him out of his trance, he didn't know if it had been seconds, minutes, or hours. The sound came from above, a metal ventilation pipe in the ceiling. There was a hollow, echoing timbre to the sound, and it took Jason a moment to recognize it as a hissing noise. It was coming from the hole. He watched the hole, eyes unfocused and disoriented. His mind was still on the knife, as he watched absently. He could feel it, even after it fell back to the floor. He could taste the hot blood spilling out of the wizard's neck. His gaze sharpened when something came out of the hole in the ceiling. It was an enormous, pitch-black snake, head barely small enough to pass through the aperture. Jason and the snake looked at each other, frozen for a moment. Jason could sense intelligence in its eyes, although he may well have been imagining it. Then the snake hissed at Jason and continued emerging from the vent shaft, body dangling down from the ceiling. Jason sprinted for the door back to the cave, snatching up the lamp as he moved. New quest. Time to run. The familiar of the Builder Cultist sensed its master's death and has come to investigate. Objective: escape. Umbral Mountain Snake, 0 of 1. Reward: iron rank, rare, magical dagger. Jason almost stumbled as the window popped open, flailing wildly at it as he willed it closed. He bolted through the metal door, dropped his lamp, and grabbed onto the wheeled handle, hauling back with adrenaline-fueled strength. The rusty hinges groaned shut, and Jason yanked on the wheel to latch the door. There was another wheel on the other side, but snakes didn't have thumbs. Jason let out a breath he didn't realize he'd been holding, and reached down to pick up the lamp. He would need to go back up the well, but he'd rather dodge cannibals than fight a giant snake. The danger at least snapped him out of the daze he had been left in after killing a man. He was making his way along the pathway when he heard the grinding of metal behind him and had a horrifying thought. What if monster snakes do have thumbs? As he ran along the pathway, forgetting his previous caution turned out to be a mistake, his sandaled foot slipped on a slick section of plank and he tumbled over. He landed hard on the walkway, the sandy coating scraping on his naked torso. Lamp still clutched in a death grip, he ignored the pain to get up and keep moving. Going as quickly as he dared, he reached the end of the walkway and ducked straight into the tunnel, dropping the lamp that would slow his crawl. His hands and knees hammered into the hard surface of the narrow passage, shoulders and head banging against the side and top. He didn't let it slow him down, scrambling forwards until he saw the dim light at the bottom of the well. Crawling out, he fumbled straight for the rung set into the side. Hand over hand, he yanked himself upwards. Only after he was a good way up the inside of the well did he let himself pause to look down. The snake shouldn't be able to climb up, but it shouldn't have been able to open a door either. He was just turning back to resume climbing when he heard the hiss from below. The snake emerged from the tunnel, pausing to look up at Jason before sliding more of its body into the space at the bottom of the well. Jason watched in horror as its body started climbing up and around the outside of the well like the thread of a screw. Despite the wet and slippery surface of the well, the snake started winding its way up, as if adhered to the sides. Jason resumed his climb more energetically than ever. The snake was fast, but its circuitous path around the sides was long. Jason clambered up as fast as he could, but panic made him rush, and more than once a foot slipped before getting proper purchase. He kept pushing upwards, every hand and foothold a step closer to the outside. The final rung was set into the brickwork that sat above ground, but just as Jason's hand gripped it, he felt something slip around his leg. The snake was as thick as Jason's thigh, and he hadn't even seen the full length of it. The weight of it prevented him from pulling himself any higher, and it only got worse as the creature wrapped around his torso. He couldn't pull himself any further up, but he clenched onto the top rung. Hands clammy and quickly tiring, his fingers threatened to give out at any moment. But in the end, it wasn't his fingers that crumbled. The mortar in the bricks gave out, the whole side of the well collapsing. Jason, the snake, and a rain of masonry fell backwards into the dark. Chapter 6 Potent Potable. Jason, as a rule, enjoyed waking up. He loved the brief, hazy moment between dream and reality, shrouded in warm, soft bedding. Even awaking in the soft grass of the hedge maze hadn't been a wholly unpleasant experience. It was very different from regaining consciousness at the bottom of a dark well, soaked in filthy water and entangled in the corpse of a dead snake. He ignored the screens that had popped up while he was unconscious. They shrank away to hover inconspicuously in the periphery of his vision. His left arm was pinned under some rubble, a chunk of fallen masonry from the well wall above. He didn't feel any pain from it, which was good, then realized he didn't feel anything at all from it, which was bad. When he tried pulling it free, the pain arrived in full force, his screams reverberating up through the well. Holding his left arm as still as he could, he rolled the chunk of masonry off with his right. It wasn't insurmountably heavy, but he had to hold back more screaming with gritted teeth. He couldn't examine the freed arm properly in the dark, but it was hot and swollen to the touch. Even probing it gently with the fingers of his good hand sent ripples of pain radiating through it. He was confident it was broken, and started carefully applying all the healing ointment he had left. The swelling reduced, and the skin cooled, but the arm was still delicate and painful to move. The ointment didn't seem effective on the bone-deep injury it couldn't reach. There was so much of the snake corpse that he was laying on it rather than the bottom of the well. Jerking his foot free of its coil sent fresh pain spiking through his arm. It took multiple attempts to struggle to his feet, using his good arm to yank himself upright with one of the wall rungs. Each time he achieved some precarious stability, his stomach roiled and he threw up, dropping to his knees. Vomit spewed out in fits and starts, even as the motion drove new pain into his injured arm. He finally made it to his feet, holding himself up and using a rung for support. He drew ragged breaths, exhausted from the effort of standing up. For the first time since climbing down into the well, he was grateful for the cold walls, ignoring the wet as he pressed his back into the cool surface. His head swam, pulse pounding through it like a hammer. His stomach churned with the threat of secondary eruptions. It wasn't the worst he'd ever felt. The worst was after eating one of his great-aunt Marjorie's casseroles, which led him to taking up residence in his parents' bathroom for 10 hours. For all her efforts to push Jason into the waiting arms of the Lord, the closest she came was food poisoning so bad it had him praying for death. Jason looked down at the snake, its incredible length piled up at the bottom of the well. It was big enough that there wasn't anywhere for Jason to stand, except on the snake itself. The largest individual piece of shattered masonry had crushed the creature's head against the bottom of the well. Either the hefty chunk or the snake itself could have killed Jason, but wild luck led to one danger handling the other. He glanced up at the blue circle of sky, uncertain how long he had been unconscious. He had to decide between climbing back up the well or going back through the tunnel, neither of which seemed easy with a busted arm. He put off the unpleasant choice and looked at the windows he had been ignoring. "You have defeated Umbral Mountain Snake. Would you like to loot Umbral Mountain Snake?" "Sure," he said wearily, then froze. Belatedly remembered that monsters dissolved into stinking smoke when they were looted. To his relief and surprise, that didn't happen. All he felt was the snake shift a little under his feet. He looked over the list of items he got from the snake. "Night scale leather has been added to your inventory. 30 dark quintessence gems, iron, have been added to your inventory. 10 bronze spirit coins have been added to your inventory. 100 iron spirit coins have been added to your inventory." Unlike every other monster Jason killed, the snake didn't turn into a stench cloud and didn't produce a monster core. "I need to learn the rules of this place." He took a look at the next screen. "Quest. Time to run. Hidden objective discovered. Kill Umbral Mountain Snake. 0 of 1. Hidden objective complete. Kill Umbral Mountain Snake, 1 of 1. Main objective reward increased from rare magical dagger to epic magical dagger. Objective complete. Escape Umbral Mountain Snake, 1 of 1. Night Fang has been added to your inventory. Quest complete. 100 bronze spirit coins have been added to your inventory. 1,000 iron spirit coins have been added to your inventory." "Hidden objective? I just fell on it. That seems kind of cheap." "Wait, why am I complaining? Get it together, Jason." He checked the last window. "Quest, Secrets of the Well. Bonus objective complete. Don't die. 1 of 1. Dark essence has been added to your inventory. Quest complete. 100 bronze spirit coins have been added to your inventory. 1,000 iron spirit coins have been added to your inventory." "Well, if you're only going to complete one quest objective, don't die is a winner." There were new items in his inventory, but his only interest was in something that could fix his arm. Looking over the icons in his inventory, nothing stood out that might help. Suddenly, Jason remembered the wizard drinking what he called a recovery potion. He looked up at the ladder leading out of the well and realized that between his bad arm and what was probably a concussion, he was more likely to fall back down than reach the top. A return to the tunnel wasn't an appealing prospect, but at least he couldn't fall if he was already on his hands and knees. The tunnel proved trickier than he hoped, every nudge sending agony through his cradled arm. He had to stop frequently and let the waves of pain subside before moving on. Finally, he reached the wooden walkway, collapsing onto his back. There was light, the lamp laying where he had cast it aside in his mad flight from the snake. After resting a while, he pushed himself stumblingly upright and started shambling down the walkway, lamp in hand. He moved slowly. He'd learned his lesson about the slippery wood, but also it was the top speed he could muster. Eventually, he reached the still open metal door. How did a snake get this open? He glanced at the wheel mechanism on either side. Part of the wheel was wet with what may have been saliva. Did it use its mouth? No way. Not sparing more than a moment on curiosity, he made his way to the desk he had seen the wizard get the potion from. It wasn't hard to find, being one of the few pieces of furniture not overturned. Jason's eyes avoided the body still on the floor as he navigated the debris of the trashed room. The drawer was still open, and inside was a small rack for vials like the one he had seen the wizard drink. Only one vial remained, and Jason carefully picked it up. Item: Recovery Potion, Bronze, Bronze Rank, Rare. Potent potable with strong healing and mana recovery effects. Consumable, healing. Effect: Recovers health. Effect reduced on silver rank or higher individuals. Uses remaining, 1 of 1. The vial was small, about the size of a rifle cartridge. Jason pulled out the stopper and tipped it back in a gulp. It tasted remarkably like strawberry schnapps, and Jason's unruly stomach settled the instant the potion arrived. Nice. The stinging sensation Jason now associated with magical healing started seeping into him, especially his head and injured arm. It was worse than what he had experienced before, whether because of the nature of the injuries or the potency of the potion. It didn't bother him. Compared to the pain he was already in, this was nothing more than a tickle. You have used a recovery potion, restoring health, stamina, and mana. Until the remnant magic fully dissipates, consuming further health, stamina, or mana potions will result in toxic side effects. By using a potion above your current rank, the effect is increased, but the residual magic will take longer to dissipate. Jason lay on the floor, taking exhausted breaths. His head was still full of cotton wool, but the constant throbbing was gone. His arm didn't seem to be broken anymore. The pain was gone, and mobility was restored, but the arm still felt delicate and weak. In the periphery of his vision was a trio of small icons slowly shading over. When he focused on them, they grew larger for him to examine. They were all squares with a picture of a potion on each, one red, one yellow, and one blue. They were mostly greyed out, but the grey was slowly dropping off as a timer underneath each counted down, with just under 10 minutes remaining. Cool-down timers. That's fancy. He pushed himself to his feet, much easier now than back in the well. All right, he told himself. Damaged but operational. So, what next? He shone the light around until he found the dead body of the wizard, and walked over to look closer. There was an eerie stillness to it that only came from death. I'm sorry, he told it. I think you might have had it coming, but I didn't want it to go that way. He knelt down and closed its eyes.